You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. He got the local, the state, the national, covered down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I am actually not in the studio today. I am safely ensconced in the Dale Jackson bunker after I kicked away all the dirty socks and the empty beer cans. But
they weren't empty when you got here.
Yeah. That's a rumor, and I refuse to acknowledge you. All right, but we are going to acknowledge you in a minute because it's that time. We've got this thing we do once a week called the Grand Council with my brethren Dale Jackson and our buddy Jeff Poor. And so let me just go ahead and call the roll. The guy that I know is right here is sitting here in front of me today, Dale Jackson, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Hey, man, how are you?
Oh!
Yep, stand at ease. And then our brethren, Jeff Poor, host of the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed present, and I'm glad of it. All right, Boomer, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, we're done. I'm just going to go ahead and say thank you to my host, Dale Jackson, for letting me sit on your broken stool over here for 3 hours and give you the first question. What you got?
Are we going to do the thing that we know didn't work? Yeah, I know you were talking about it before. Are we going to really do the mask thing? Are we really back at this? Nobody thinks the masks work. Everyone knows they don't. We've learned the lesson. At this point, we're just being dumb and showing everyone that the whole mask thing was fake. Who's going to be the first person in Alabama, the first school system in Alabama to say, okay, we're going back to masks? Who's that going to be?
I'm going to put it somewhere in Jefferson County. But I don't know if you heard the first hour of my show was all dedicated to that very thing. And Morris Brown College.
Saw that.
Morris Brown College in Georgia, in Atlanta, has already put masking, contact tracing, and mandatory temperature taking on their students in the middle of August. So you're going to walk across a hot parking lot into the building and get your temperature taken.
Do you know how many cases they have right now?
Probably 12.
Zero. They have zero cases. That's happening with zero cases.
I have no doubt. Jeff, weigh in. What are you thinking about all that?
It's like superstition, right? That's all I could gather is that there's some kind of superstitious belief that it will keep the COVID away. You don't need to understand the science or any of that. Always defer to authority figures. Always defer to authorities. Just do what they tell you, and you won't die of COVID. It's just a fear, I guess. But for some, it's probably a virtue signal thing. But I think there's a real, whether it's rational or not is another question, but I do think there's a real fear out there of this.
Well, they ingrained it. You know, I gave the example earlier in the show too about North Korea, a book that I've got on my favorites list, Escape from Camp 14. It talked about a guy who grew up in North Korea, finally escaped, and what a beaten down society they are because they've been conditioned over and over and over to what happens if you disobey the dear leader. Well, it didn't take long for the United States to become conditioned in some ways. And I think we're seeing that right now. So anything else on your question, Dale?
Well, I will just say this, this week on my show, I absolved everyone that was wrong about masks at the very beginning. You, the first 3 months, if you were wrong about masks, I now absolve you. As long as you own it, I now absolve you. Everything from that point on until now, if you haven't owned it, I no longer absolve you. You will be found guilty when I run the tribunal.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'll be there to be your bailiff when you wield the gavel.
Thanks, sir. Take it away, my deuce and a half.
All right. Yeah. Jeff, next question. What do you got?
What happened to Prigozhin today? I don't know the answer to this, but I'd like to hear some theories.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what happened. He bucked the dictator. You don't face down Putin in public and think that's going to be okay. And so not only did he get shot down He got shot down over Russian airspace using a Russian missile, is what the reports are saying right now. So any thoughts that Prigozhin had somehow made up, or maybe that he, yeah, I will say this. The fact that it took this long is surprising. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that he didn't have special files tucked away somewhere on Putin. And I mean that seriously. I bet he had knowledge that Putin was a little worried about getting out, and Putin had to tighten some things up first and then take him out. And that's what I think happened, Dale.
I think he fell out a window. Well, that's what happens in Russia when you go go bad. So I think he fell out a window at a very high height. I think that's what happened to him.
I'm saying, if you're in Putin's inner circle, you better have a soup tester and all the windows nailed shut. That's the way it tends to work over there. What you got any other thoughts on this, Jeff? You've been watching the news cycle that I haven't seen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, does this just go away? Is the threat over? Is there no threat? I mean, this seems like this would incite whatever loyalist he had to go to Moscow or something. I this is a touchy situation. Maybe Putin's taking all the right necessary measures. We'll see. But I guess
it's a touchy situation.
Doesn't it just seem, though, like way too predictable?
Oh, yeah. But I predicted it back when Prigozhin was rolling his Wagner tanks towards Moscow. I mean, first of all, I was shocked that he did it. It was a little brassy. I thought that was beyond the pale. But daggum, man. I mean, what do you think's going to happen? And then the fact that he backed away and goes, oh, it's okay. We meant nothing against Mother Russia. Well, apparently the missile thought you did.
Just going forward, is there any danger for the Putin regime? Does anything come of this?
No. In fact, what I think is going to wind up happening is you're going to wind up seeing, this is a cultural thing. I think the strongman image, that's why Putin rides around bareback on a horse and takes pictures of himself. I think the strongman image is still being provided here. And a lot of the Wagner mercenaries have already been conscripted into the Russian army, or will be conscripted to the Russian army. And there's one leader, I was listening to General Kellogg before I came on the air. There's one leader among Wagner that was openly not in favor of the actions that Prigozhin took. And he's probably going to wind up having a few general stars tacked on his shoulder. There you have it. Oh,
there you have it, yeah.
All right. Hey, let me ask you this. I've got a story that I want 1819 to run with, and I would rarely ever do this, but this is a good one. So Scott Harris, you guys reported that Scott Harris just got a major pay bump, and he's now $328,000 a year as a state official without accountability or confirmation. That being said, he helped put together a contact tracing app, and they apparently used, according to reports that I had for the show today, $20 million of CARES Act money UAB and the Department of Public Health used to develop a contact tracing app to be able to scream at you when you were in close proximity to somebody with COVID and tell you to go to your dorm room. And then they sold it to other universities around the nation. I'd like to know whatever happened with that and why the frick it cost $20 million to create that app. I mean, $20 million is how much it would have taken to save Birmingham Southern, the entire campus. $20 million of tax dollars to build an app. Jeff, you want to run a story on that?
If we could find something out, a way to put me on the spot here on the air.
Do it, Jeff. Do it. It's what are you afraid of, Jeff?
It's peer pressure. Do it. You'll be cool. Everybody does.
Hey, man, you want to write this story? No, Phil, we can't do that.
No, I realize I'm hammering you, but so bottom line is, I just feel like this is first of all, it was egregious. It was big government. It was an app designed to monitor your movements. And by the way, the reports say that it was not for UAB's purposes. It was to provide information to the state about your movements. And then, oh, by the way, it cost $20 million of CARES Act money just to build the app. And then they got to sell it and make money with other colleges. So, Dale, your thoughts?
Yeah, it seems pretty bad. I mean, let's just be real about it, that is something that they're doing. They should not be in that business, but if they are, I think we should find out exactly why it does cost $20 million to make such an app. I just can't understand that it would require that kind of layout of cash.
If I was made editor-in-chief for a day, I would have the story done, just so you know. Just so you know.
These stories don't grow on trees. I mean, you know, like, what am I going to call UAB? Hey, give me the dirt on this app you made, and they're going to be like, oh, sure, 1819 News. We love you guys. Here you go. And then we can put the story up on the site. It's really easy. It really works that way.
Just give me a third of the money that came off that app, and we'll go ahead and get that story written. All right.
Let me get on that one, too, then. $20 million. So here's a third of a – here's $6 million and some change here.
All right, fellas. That's round one, Grand Council. That goes way too fast. We're with Jeff Poore, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, also with Yellowhammer News and Little Old Me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come right back. Round two, Grand Council. We'll see you in a moment. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back with the Grand Council. My brethren, Jeff Poore from 1819 News and then FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, and Dale Jackson, who writes for Yellowhammer and also with WVNN up here in Huntsville area. By the way, keep in mind, tonight there is an event, and Dale and myself and now the illustrious Mo Brooks will be hosting a panel at Terry's Pizza doing a watch party on the GOP debate. So that being said, let me jump back to questions. Dale Jackson, you are first.
Does Jeff Poore think he's better than us? Like, you and I get together and we're hanging out at my house. You know, we're kicking back. You're drinking all the beers out of my mini fridge.
I am.
And then we're going to Terry's Pizza and we're going to have a good time.
It's cool.
Off Bailey Cove. It's going to be a lot of fun starting at 6.
It's where the cool kids hang out.
And Jeff Poore's like, screw you guys. I'm not coming.
Jeff Poore, you're missing it, brother.
My actual answer is
yes. Yes, I do think I'm better than you. And,
you walked right into that, right? Just so you know.
I know, but nobody believes that, so it's okay. So here's my actual question: will there be a bloody nose tonight at this debate? Will somebody bloody somebody else up? I mean, obviously, the only two I think you can actually hurt that it has any oomph to would be DeSantis or Ramaswamy. The others are just kind of maybe Tim Scott, but the rest of them are just there to make noise. That's my takeaway. Will there be a bloody nose tonight?
Well, I guess first of all, remind me, is Chris Christie on the stage?
He is.
He did make the stage. Yeah. He's going to be off to the side, but,
he takes up a lot of room. So
what's he going to do without Trump? He's got, so he's got to beat up on somebody. He's the angry man on the stage.
He's made it clear he's going after DeSantis.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he's made
everybody's going after DeSantis is the guy. If anybody walks away with either blood scars or, for that matter, like a complete ninja defense and the ability to fend off lots of blows, it's going to be DeSantis because everybody's coming after his points. I think there will be some barbs traded. With Trump not on the stage, it actually benefits the rest of the pool, I think, because they have the opportunity now to not deal with the elephant in the room as much and try to deal with each other and become the next person in line. Ramaswamy has got to set himself out from DeSantis. And right now, they're depending on what poll you're looking at, they're running 2-3, 3-2. So I think Ramaswamy is going to try to be the guy who can show why he as a corporate guy is better than, you know, government guy DeSantis. That's my thoughts. Jeff?
5 minutes in this thing, we'll all be bored. It won't matter. It doesn't matter. We're trying to make it seem like it's important. I guess it's the first debate, and no one knows who any of these people are. I mean, aside from something just extremely out of the ordinary, this time tomorrow, we will have forgotten about this debate. It's always that way. Will somebody get bloodied? I don't know. They got to really screw up like Rick Perry. If DeSantis goes out there and he forgets what the Department of Education is, then maybe.
Your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
Well, I saw something today that said 60% of people have changed their minds after a primary debate, when only 14% have after a general election debate. So I think it matters a little more than
you
Jeff,
don't believe that, do you?
Hey. Jeff, I'm just saying, if I'm at Terry's Pizza tonight watching the debate,
Dale, where did you get that?
I'm going to be paying close attention. I think it matters.
What Cracker Jack box did you get that survey out on? Tell me, what was the last time you changed your mind?
I think it read on 1819 News.
What was the last time you changed your mind from a primary debate?
Tell me what I read, Jeff.
When was the last time?
The greatest primary debate moment, though, ever, or was it primary or general? It may have been general, and I'd say that, was Ronald Reagan saying, I will not let my opponent's youth and inexperience become a factor. That was a debate matter and moment, and it was good. I think one of the reasons why, I mean, I think the election was rigged. I think there were a lot of things that were wrong with it, but I think Trump hurt himself in the debate with Biden because he came across as being angry and uncontrollable.
Those are presidential debates. They're on all the channels, all the networks cover them.
You're saying a primary debate don't matter.
On Fox News
talking about primaries only. Okay. Okay.
I mean, primary debate, has it ever mattered?
When has it not mattered? Why do they keep repeating them if they don't matter? What would be the point of not having a primary debate?
They
if it
sell
didn't matter?
And they sell ads. When has a primary debate? Because that was Dale's assertion that a small percentage change their minds during a general election debate, but a much bigger percentage change it during a primary debate. Tell me when that's ever happened.
I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with Dale on this. There are people right now looking for their number two because they're already not on Trump's train. There are people who are not voting Trump. And they're stuck in the middle of this pack, and they like Tim Scott, and they wish Ramaswamy had some experience, and then they also really love the fact that DeSantis, you know, kicked Disney in the teeth, and they wish they had somebody who was all three rolled into one, and they're going to watch this debate and try to make a decision as to who's their number two because they already know they're not voting for Trump. Those people are out there, and I believe this debate is going to answer a few of those questions. For people who care, I think it really matters.
This is for people that go watch practice in Tuscaloosa and think they're going to have a say in who's going to be the quarterback. This time tomorrow, we will have forgotten about it.
I'm sure I had a story in 1819 News about that poll and how it doesn't matter.
That's what's going to happen. I feel certain he's going to quote you in it, too. Just so you know.
All right,
Jeff, ask a question. We're almost out of time. What do you got? What's your question? Before you gripe anymore, what's your question?
Real quick, Stephen Reed last night, I didn't think it was definitely a commanding win, but I don't feel like it was impressive enough to make him congressional. Were you even paying attention to it? But what do you think of Stephen Reed this morning?
Well, I think he's the mayor. I think he has the backstop of his dad's political, power in the Democrat Party, such as that is now. But then at the same time, nobody outside of Montgomery knows who Stephen Reed is. And so running for a congressional seat across multiple counties in a new district that's been freshly realigned. He's probably a top three candidate, depending on who else gets in the race. But I really don't think he has name ID for anything much. And we'll see how it goes. Dale,
if not him down there, who? I mean, that's really the question. Mm-hmm. And it would also make a lot of sense to run someone like him with the machine behind him, because keep this in mind. If he does run and there's a new district and it's 42 or whatever, 46, 47% black, the media is going to be all over that thing as a potential pickup. And he's good on TV. So I think he's a player in this.
All right, well, fellas, listen, I didn't get to my last question. The music is on, but I appreciate both of you. That's Dale Jackson. 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, writes for Yellowhammer News, and Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile, editor-in-chief, 1819 News. Love you both. Appreciate you. We'll be right back.